Hey, this is Michelle, and you're listening to Words with Michelle, the podcast, a show where I sit down and have conversations with influencers on a range of topics, anything from natural hair, employment, discrimination, food, relationships, and everything in between. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. If you want to send me an email, hit me up at michelle@wordsmichelle.com. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. On today's episode, I will be speaking with Magabi Bayenka, and we will be discussing racism in the medical field from a patient's point of view. This episode was originally recorded in late March, a time where there was a lot of focus on COVID-19. So my guest and I decided to put this episode on hold as we were in the midst of a global pandemic. But due to the current social climate, the topic of racism is relevant and needs to be discussed. Just some info on Magabi. He's an award-winning writer, poet, and in his words, occasional rapper. He was born in Nigeria to Ugandan parents and is currently based between Kampala and Toronto. He suffered his first stroke at the age of 9, which left his right side of his body completely paralyzed. He then suffered 2 more strokes by the age of 22. His second and third strokes hit him with a new set of health issues. He now lives with chronic pain, constant headaches, seizures, and burning feeling all over his body. The reason I share this info is to let you know that Magabi has a lot of experience dealing with doctors and medical professionals. He has a lot to speak about regarding today's topic of racism in the medical field. I start the show asking Magabi why he wanted to talk about this topic. Thanks for being a guest, Magabi. So why did you want to talk about this? Why did you want to talk about racism in the medical field? Why was that something that was on your mind?
It was honestly probably on my mind because I forget when I initially found out about your podcast and you put out that call for people who are interested in talking about an issue. And I think that was around the same time that I just had a really, really negative experience with a neurologist. I was just fed up and angry. And so I think that was why I was I just want to get this off my chest.
What happened? Tell me what happened.
With this particular incident. So my health has been up and down, a lot more volatile lately over the past year or so, unfortunately. And so I've been trying to get that figured out and seeing a bunch of different doctors and trying to get a better handle on the situation. And the most recent neurologist who I saw in Toronto, this old white woman. But one of the downfalls of being a black patient is there are so few black doctors. And majority of the doctors that I see, especially because I am dealing with brain damage from my strokes, right? And so I need a specialist, and I need in particular a neurologist who knows what they're talking about, right? A GP doesn't know what to do with me. And so a lot of those people in those specialized, highly trained positions tend to be white, because they're the ones with more access, etc. But so I go into my neurologist, I tell her what I'm dealing with. She's it sounds like you got a really complicated case. I'm going to need some more time to review. Well, no, actually. So I walk into her office and she walks in and she's what brings you in here today? And I explain to her I tell her well, I'm here for 4 things. And she's wait, slow down. You can't just come in here and say you're in here for 4 things. You need to slow down, just tell me the first thing and we can move from there. And so I was like, all right. And so as I'm getting into explaining my medical history, she looks at me when I say I had a stroke, I had 3 strokes, and she's like, strokes? And then she's like,
pfft. And I'm yeah. Oh, wait, didn't she look at your chart? I don't get it. Doesn't she know your medical history or no?
Well, this was my first time seeing her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I brought all my medical history and I had all my charts with me. But she was she'd like to hear it from me first before she
okay.
So I was like, all right. And the reason it was my first time seeing her is because I've been jumping around from doctor to doctor to doctor, because like the minute it doesn't work out with one, I just switch to another and like, you know, hope for better results. But so she like scoffs at me, and then like proceeds to like lecture me on like what a stroke is and what a stroke isn't. And I'm like, have you ever had a stroke? You know, like, no. So no. Like, what right do you have to lecture me on what a stroke is and what a stroke isn't? If you've never experienced it, you just learned about it in a book, you know, like I've had three. And then she goes on about like how it was like a very complicated case. There was a lot of information to process. And she was like, I need to like look at all your medical documents because you have like this huge file and I'll get back to you. And I was like, okay. So 4 weeks later, she gets back to me. Wow. with like a missed call, and then I call her back and she's on vacation. And so then I call back, then the week after that she's out of office, and like we're playing phone tag for literally like a month. And then eventually when I get in touch with her, she tells me that like all my health issues are caused by my anxiety. And I was like, but I don't even have anxiety. And then she's like, okay, let me look at the records and get back to you, and never gets back to me.
Oh, she never got back to you? Yeah. Oh my, so you haven't heard from her as of now?
I haven't heard from her since. And I don't want to hear from her, because like her interactions with me like told me more than enough.
Wow. So you're saying that you've had this repeatedly then? Like that wasn't
Repeatedly. So I had my two most recent strokes in 2014, end of 2014. And then I was following up with a bunch of different doctors, seeing a bunch of different people, for 8 months. I saw over, I'd say 50 different doctors. And none of them prescribed me, like anything stronger than a Tylenol.
Wow.
Yeah. And they're all white doctors, and they're all like, oh, like, and I was telling them like about my pain and my seizures and everything. And they were like, oh, okay. And then they'd prescribe me Tylenol, or they prescribed me something that was Tylenol just under a different name. And because I didn't know what they were talking about, I was like, oh, okay, this must be some new medication. And then I Google it and I'm like, this is just Tylenol, you know? And it wasn't until I saw my first black doctor 8 months into dealing with my health issues that he like looked at me and he was like, what are you on? And I told him, he was like, these white doctors think we're all drug seekers.
Oh my God. Are you serious?
Yeah, he said that verbatim. Wow. And then he prescribed me something stronger, which like ended up not working. But I was grateful that he was like, you know, willing to like experiment and try things and like, you know, actually work with me. Unlike pretty much every single white doctor I'd seen who either told me it was all in my head, or I was crazy, or I was just like being a baby and complaining for nothing. Because like there's been a lot of like research and a lot of studies done into white doctors' perceptions of black people's pain, and yeah, how they just like think that we're superhuman and we just like, you know, like are more animalistic and have greater capacity for pain. Like, I mean, look at like even Serena Williams like nearly died in childbirth because they were like, oh no, it's all good, but it wasn't good, you know. And she was trying to tell them, and like if somebody with Serena Williams like prestige and, you know, money, like Serena Williams can afford to like buy out, you know, an entire ward of a hospital. I can't. Yeah. And so if somebody who's like literally like a multimillionaire is still facing this this medical racism, yeah, then like what chance does like, you know, me have?
Wow. So do you think it happens at all levels? Like nurses, doctors, do you think all levels you felt that way?
In terms of,
I guess the treatment that you're, yeah, like the health profession, like, do you think in general, is that the way you're feeling, or is it just doctor in you, like that relationship?
So I've gotten it mostly from doctors, but that's because doctors are the people who like I've been like dealing with the most, because like nurses, you know, tend to like guide you into the room and like set everything up, and then the doctor comes in to actually, you know, have the session. And like all my interactions with nurses have being pleasant, but also the nurses don't have a lot of power in the hospital scenario. The doctors are the ones with the power, and so I think that might play into things as well.
Okay, so then how do you think, okay, so you had one doc, was it only one person of color doctor that you had, or do you have several?
I had a couple. And yeah, all of them were like willing to try things and willing to help me in ways, in multiple ways that the white doctors were not. And like, they actually like listened and like believed me when I was like telling them like what I was going through, right? Because a lot of like the white doctors, because I'm not physically, like I don't have, you know, my leg chopped off or like there's nothing like glaringly physically obvious about my condition. They just think that, oh, since this black person is complaining about these issues, they must just either be a drug seeker who's like just looking for like a Percocet high or like, you know, Vicodin high. And also the fact that like I like have the beard also doesn't help, because a lot of them just see me as like, you know, this big black bearded guy who they're like, oh, like, you know, like he's probably just here looking for like, you know, a quick fix or something. And like, it's just like, it really, really hurts, like just being typecast and pushed into this box and this like narrative, which is not true. And if it was true, like you should be trying to help me, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever confronted a doctor on it, like on the treatment that you're getting? Have you ever said, you know, I don't really like this. This isn't the case. You know what I mean? I'm not a drug seeker. I mean, I have legitimate issues. And then has that ever happened? Have you done that and had that conversation?
Okay. Yes. And they either like get angry at me and like start, you know, like just like ranting about how I don't know what I'm talking about, and they have the degree and they have all this knowledge, and then they start like just spouting off this like scientific jargon that I don't understand. And basically like they just get very frustrated at the fact that I dared like question their authority, because honestly a lot of them see themselves as gods, because they're like playing life or death with that. I mean, they have people's lives in their hands. And that power, I believe, gets to a lot of them and gets a lot of their heads.
Mm-hmm. I went online and I did exactly. I just kind of Googled our question. Our question was racism in the medical profession. And I did, you know, I heard from patients. I even heard from a doctor. Like, I mean, like mind you, I read his paper, and he said there is a lot of privilege as a white male in as a doctor. So maybe that has a lot to do with it. It's structural. It's like systematic racism, because he said I love the list that he gave about 10 things that he didn't have to worry about because he was a white, older male doctor, as opposed to a person of color, because he never has to justify why he's there. He doesn't have to. I love it. Actually, you know, I may actually just send you the article, because I thought it was pretty cool. Definitely. Because there's a lot of judgment happening, and you know, when you go in to see your doctor as a black person, like you said, he even said that a lot of doctors do think that, you know, patients are seeking drugs.
Yep. I had a doctor look at me in the face and say like, that all my health issues were, this like old white man from Mississippi looked at me in the face and told me that all my health issues were caused by my anger towards racism.
Wow.
He was like, if I try being less angry, I'll get better. And I was like, this has nothing to do with, like, they just can never admit that they don't know something, you know? And that's what frustrates me, is like, all I want from you is to tell me, yo, I don't know what you're dealing with. Maybe you need to go see someone else, because I'm out of my depth here. But instead of saying that, they just automatically default to, you must be a drug seeker, you must be crazy, you must be all these like invalidating things that they just put on you because they can't explain what you're dealing with.
Wow. Have you ever had a good experience though? Like, has there been, is it like
with
a doctor that was not black, like a white doctor?
With a white doctor?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
but good. I would say like 5% of my experiences with white doctors are good. Yeah.
Actually, what I wanted to ask, was it the same? Because I know you've been to doctors here and you've been to doctors in the States. Same treatment?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because like, I mean, there's a reputation in Canada that it's like so much better racially than the States is, but that's not the case. That's not true. And thus far in my experiences, but like my experiences are not, you know, like indicative of like, you know, the entire country or like the entire, like, you know, like because I'm one person and I've seen like a couple doctors, you know, out of like the millions that there are. But based on my experiences, yeah, nah.
Wow. Okay. How do you think we can change this? I mean, like, because you are going to go to more doctors. I mean, you are, you know, so what do you think, or how, where should this start? Because obviously there's a mistreatment happening. What can be done to fix this, to correct this?
Well, I mean,
what do you think?
Hire more Black doctors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think, because I guess what I was getting from that article that I read, it is so structural, so systematic that it really and truly has to start even before that, like in education and in school. You know what? Even, I mean, just being, maybe not even take the profession, I guess it's just in life in general, right? Like, just like, just how, because what he was saying is because there were so few Black doctors or people of color in the profession that it's not, quote unquote, common to see them. So they're always having to validate who they are. So then, and I guess they treat the patients the same way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No. I feel you. And like, that's one of like the tricky things is like that a lot of Black doctors are not aware that this is an issue until like they end up in our shoes. Because like I've read accounts of Black doctors who are like, you know, just like living their lives like a doctor for like 5 to 10 years, and then something happens health wise and then like they get to see what it's like on the other foot, and they're like, whoa, like why is this person treating me this way, you know? And then they're like, whoa, like this is a huge issue, like, and I was completely like oblivious to it because I never had to actually like be in the shoes of a patient.
Do you think this is also like I'm not sure how it is in the States. Like, you know, you can go to any hospital here, but in the States, it's a little different because of insurance and whatever. So there's kind of like that state hospital or the, as opposed to a private, I'm not even sure if the terminology is correct, but say you got money, you can go to a better hospital. Like, do you think across all hospitals?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Okay.
Because like, I was in graduate school when I was in the States, and my graduate school like had really, really good health insurance. And so like I was on like premium, like top of the line health insurance for like really cheap because I was a student. And like I went to like some of the best hospitals in the country and like got this treatment from them. So
I know I hate saying this, but is there another example? Because that one obviously is bad with that lady, that female doctor. Is there anything happened recently? Was that the most recent thing that happened?
Well, yeah, but I mean, like that very same lady, like I was telling her about my seizures and she laughed at me. And I was like, why are you laughing? And she's like, you can't call them seizures. And I was like, what do you mean? And she's like, you're like EEG, like indicated that these events were non-epileptic. And I was like, yeah, like I don't have epilepsy. And then she's like, yeah, so you can't call it a seizure. And I was like, so I can't call it a seizure because I don't have epilepsy. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, so what do I call it then? And she was like, call it a spell. And I was like, that's just like hell and valid. You know, like,
yeah. She was a little, she's terrible. Oh my God, she really and truly wasn't listening to you, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
That's like pretty much every single doctor that I've seen. I'd say like 95% of doctors that I've seen have been that way. And that's what's so frustrating. And that's one of the reasons that like I'm trying to like spend less time in North America too, because like I'm just like sick and tired dealing with like this, just like constantly just like telling me that either I'm crazy or I'm a drug seeker or what, you know? And like I don't want those drugs that they're trying to say that I want, because I've been on those and they didn't nothing for my pain. Like they just like made things a lot worse and like they had a lot of side effects. And so I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for help in any way whatsoever. I mean, in some way whatsoever, that's like, you know, not harmful to my body. But they just don't see that. And it's frustrating.
How about in Uganda? Like what kind of help are you getting there?
Like here it's tough because like the healthcare isn't the best. So like I just like largely manage it on my own through like my own means. And I'm trying to like save up for a trip to Thailand next.
No, yeah. for medical yeah. reasons or just for fun?
Yeah. No, for medical reasons.
Okay. What's going on in Thailand? Is it?
Well, I mean, amazing hospitals, first of all.
Oh, I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Yeah. No, yeah. Like, I'd say like 3 or 4 of the top 10 hospitals in the world are in Thailand.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like an amazing, amazing, like a technologically advanced hospital and healthcare system. But Thailand has several benefits. Like, first of all, amazing healthcare system. Second of all, it's a lot cheaper because of like the difference in like cost of living. A lot of like the medical treatments are significantly cheaper than it would be like in the States with health insurance or in Canada health insurance, etc. In Thailand, if I am a Black person who is in the hospital getting treatment and paying for that treatment, I am treated the same as a white person, which is very, very, very different from North America, where it doesn't matter who I am as a Black person, I'll still be treated like a Black
person. But how do you know that? How do you know that the treatment is better in Thailand? How do you know?
Oh, because I used to live there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I grew up in Thailand, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. You're right. I guess you lived everywhere. Oh. Totally forgot.
I grew up in Thailand, so that's another reason why I'm trying to go. Is like I already have a relationship with one of the hospitals there that I've been working with since I was a kid, and so like they know my case, they're familiar with it. They like helped me out a lot when I was going through a lot of the similar stuff where like I went to like hospitals in the States and they were like, oh, we don't know what's going on with them, blah blah blah. And like they're trying to tell like my parents at the time, because I was 9, they're trying to tell my parents that was that like I was making it up and all this stuff. And then we went to Thailand and they were like, no, like this kid is clearly going through things, like, you know, and they sent me on the right path and gave me a lot of help. And so I've just faced a lot of like invalidation and a lot of denial and a lot of just like ludicrousness from North American doctors. Whereas in Thailand, I have not personally experienced that.
So you've been going through this like basically all your life then, right?
First one was when I was 9, yeah. Like it wasn't as, I mean, that one was like bad in a different way, but like that one didn't derail me as much as the most recent ones did.
Oh, and that was 2014 though, right?
Yeah, 2014, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see done then? What would you like to see done?
I mean, I would like to see an acknowledgement of the fact that, like, there's a problem, you know? I would like to see, like, steps taken towards, like, helping, like, mitigate the problem. Because I'm not the only one going through this. I mean, whenever, like, I tweet any... I'm on Twitter a lot. I use Twitter pretty much as like my diary, and I just like
tweet a bunch of random.
So like I just pulled up this like study. So it says a new survey of medical students, University of Virginia, found that about half held false and fantastical beliefs that Black people feel less pain than white people.
Oh wow.
Fallacies that date to 19th century doctors justifying mistreatment of American slaves.
Wait, are you serious? Do you think we can handle pain more? Oh my lord, are you serious? Yeah.
So in a study of 222 white medical students, they believe that Black skin is thicker than white skin and that Black nerve endings are less sensitive.
Actually, I guess that's what I was reading yesterday. This person, let me see if I can read it. I guess it was just more of the outcome. So one of the doctors was saying that it is well established that Blacks and other minority groups in the U.S., it's a U.S. study, experience more illness, worse outcomes, and premature death compared to whites. Mm-hmm. These health disparities were officially noted back in the 1980s. And though a concerted effort by government agencies resulted in some improvement, the most recent reports show ongoing differences by race and ethnicity for all measures. So I guess they're saying things didn't really change, right? You know, and I guess they're saying they don't really believe, you know, I guess like you said with Serena, it comes back to that. They don't really believe the pain that, you know, we can handle it, or that we can handle it, as opposed to we're actually in pain.
Exactly. Like, this is a study from the U.S. National Library of Medicine. So they said, they determined that if a Black person and a white person show up to an emergency room with the same injury, because like they looked like, you know, like people who are coming into the emergency rooms with similar injuries and like just like looked at the results of their treatment, the Black person is 60% likely to be prescribed a painkiller.
Wow.
That's ridiculous.
Wow. This is, and you've felt this firsthand then, right? You've gone through this firsthand. Okay. All right. I don't know what to say. I mean, like, it's so clear. I mean, like, and what I liked about the research that I did was getting it from white doctors. Mm-hmm. So they acknowledge it. It wasn't like they're saying that I don't believe it. They're saying, yeah, I got privilege. And yeah, I do treat people differently. Actually, in one of the studies, the doctor was saying the medical students, like the people in residence were also had these, they're talking about this guy that came in. He was actually shot multiple times, a Black male. He was shot multiple times, and they were just really flippant. They were just really rude. Like, he did die on the table because they couldn't help him. They couldn't save him. So the thing is, they just start making all these judgments against him, like he's a drug dealer, this and that, whatever. And they all agreed with this, right? And he said he never liked that, and he felt bad that he never spoke up because there are just they're just judgments. I would love to see a change. I'd love to know how they'd make a change. I guess, I guess it's how you treat your patients. You know, we now know. Yeah.
And I mean, I think it's something that can be like addressed in med school as well, you know, because if like med school included a like module or like section or whatever on medical racism and how to like, you know, like treat people irregardless of race, like, you know, the same and have all the medical outcomes be the same. And just like looking to all these myths and looking to all these false beliefs and then like, you know, do like role play exercises or whatever. But like this can really be tackled head on and like made people like be aware of these issues like earlier on rather than like further on down the line when you're already like entrenched and ingrained. Because like I talked to one of my friends who's is a Black nurse in California, and she was telling me that like she sees the exact same thing going on at the hospital that she works at, where like the Black patients will come in and her and the white doctor will just like snicker and be like, oh, he's back on the drugs again. And it's like, you know, like, do you know this person? Like, do you know what they're going through, et cetera? Or are you just like putting them into this box because of how they look?
Yeah. Wow. I guess we live in such a racial world that I guess how it's definitely going to see it's rear its ugly head in the medical industry, right? I mean, like, like think about how people are treated when they're in school, right? Like kids are kind of streamlined. I should use my sister as an example because my sister's like this smart girl. And I remember in high school, her guidance counselor told her, you're never going to university, you're never going to college. Just, And then my sister gets like, you know, her master's or whatever. My sister's smart, so I don't want anyone telling her that she's not. So it's just the perception of who we are and what our capabilities are. You know what I mean? So it is.
And it's like, if you limit people, like, then it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, because then the person starts believing like, oh, maybe, you know, like what they're saying is right. And maybe I can't make it past, you know, high school, and maybe I can't, you know, and then, or like, you know, like somebody could be like, oh, like if they're calling me a drug seeker, maybe I should try these things, you know?
Yeah. But then like, actually, you know what else? What I noticed in that thing that I read about the white doctor, and he was, it was such a great article because he was saying like, you know, when he goes to the hospital, all the, you know, the board members or whatever, all the doctors, you see pictures of them and they're all white males, right? So they're like, this is the norm, you know, like the norm is white, old and male too, right? So I guess anything other than that is different and questioned, and also I think it has a lot to do with it, you know, it has a lot to do with it.
But, yeah, because like women have it even worse because like it's like you're both a woman and you're Black, you know, and so then it's like a double whammy. I tweeted something earlier today And I had this like angry white person coming at me in my mentions, talking about like, oh, like, I don't know what you're talking about comparing yourself to Serena Williams, because Serena Williams is a woman and all women have it hard, because doctors invalidate them and this has nothing to do with race.
And I was like,
I think I saw that, right? I saw that.
Yeah. But then,
did you respond to her though?
I didn't, because I didn't want to like get into it with this person who was just so completely like oblivious. But then a white woman actually swooped in as an ally and responded to him and was like, I'm a white woman. I've given birth. And I can say that what I went through was nothing compared to what my black friends who are women went through. So like when people of color speak about their experiences, please just shut up and listen.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a, wow. I can feel like I never felt it before. Like I never, I don't know what you went, I know what you went through before to a point, but now, yeah, that person obviously, or the people since the last time we met, irritated your soul. They probably irritated your soul.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, you know, I'm usually pretty low-key and like I'm chill and I take everything in my stride and everything, but like,
So has it been bad since, okay, we met in like, say, 2016 maybe? 2016, 2017?
Yes, 2016, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, hold up. So, has it been bad since then, like your encounters?
Well, oh, for the most part, I just avoided them, to be honest. Because, like, I just had terrible encounter after terrible encounter, and so I was just like, screw all doctors. Like, I'm just gonna, like, avoid them as much as humanly possible. I'm gonna see them for my medication, and that's it. But then my health started getting worse, so then I needed to see them again, and then it's just like, it just, like, all came back, and it's just like, it's frustrating, because, like, a white doctor prescribed me this medication when I was in Michigan, that made me hallucinate and made me suicidal.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How long were you on that for?
I was on it for 3-4 days.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I got off it, like, early. But, like, when I called my doctor and I was like, yo, like, all this stuff happened to me, she was like, oh, really?
Oh, my God.
That only happens in 5% of patients. Wow, that's interesting.
Wow. So did they say, so what was their response? Okay, that was the response, but was there more to that? Did they say anything else? Like, okay, I'll take you off of that and I'll give you this, or did, what happened after that?
Yeah, they were like, okay, I'll take you off of that and I'll give you something else. And I was like, but like, how can I trust you with this something else, you know? Like, because like, you just gave me something that made me want to kill myself. And I was like, I'm not about to just trust whatever other thing is coming out of your mouth, you know? And then they were like, what do you mean? How can you trust me? And then they started telling me all the credentials and all their degrees and whatnot. And I'm like, yeah, but like, you literally gave me something that nearly made me die. Like, like me being cautious is like, expected and valid.
You know what it is? I think it sounds like, okay, so it's definitely racism, but it's also classism as well, right? That they're so intertwined, right? Because because you're saying that everyone keeps saying, I have this and I have that. So it's kind of elitism, right? Sounds like, you know, everyone's like reading off their degrees. Like, that makes you a better person. So it doesn't, right?
Like, I remember when I was having my second stroke, I got my roommate to drive me to the hospital, and I'm walking into the hospital, and they look at me and they're like, whoa, they closed the doors. And then I'm like, I'm standing outside the hospital, like banging on like hospital door being like, yo, can you let me in? Cause it's an emergency room.
Yeah.
And they're like, they put up this like sign that says basically like, have you visited the following countries over the past whatever many months? And then I look at it and then they're like, do you have any of the following symptoms? And I'm like, wait a second, they think I have Ebola.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh my God. Are you serious?
Exactly.
Yeah. So oh my God,
man,
Ebola?
African looking man walking into the hospital, like stumbling clearly because I'm having a stroke. And then they just like shut the door on me, assume I have Ebola. Like, Lord knows if I would have got better and more efficient treatment if my outcomes would have been different, you know? Because, like, I got such crap treatment for, like, the majority of dealing with my health issues that it's, like, this just makes it worse in the long term, you know?
Yeah. Well, I hope things get better? I mean, if you do, you plan on going to the doctor anytime soon, or you just said just for your medication, right? You don't plan to go?
Yeah.
All right.
So right now it's just for medication. And so like next time I'm going to the doctor is going to be in Thailand, because the conclusion that like the doctors who actually knew what they were talking about came to is that whatever like brain damage I'm dealing with is like beyond medical science.
Wow.
Like something that they're doing research in, and they hope to have answers like 50 years from now, but it's something to do with my neurotransmitters that they don't really understand. And I was like, all right, well, thank you for being honest with me. Because like all the other doctors who I've seen like have told me that I'm crazy or I'm a drug seeker or it's all in my head or whatnot. And the Mayo Clinic, those are the doctors who I saw who are amazing. And they were like, yeah, well, that happens a lot with other hospitals because of the way they're structured. Because one of the things that the Mayo Clinic does, which is something that I feel should be emulated across hospitals like worldwide, is they actually allow their doctors to have lives. And so like that makes the doctors like just so much better at their job.
So they're not stressed. Exactly.
Because over there, doctors work 9 to 5s, Monday through Friday, and that's it. And they have a 2-hour block with each patient, and they don't do a single like piece of paperwork or like insurance stuff. Like that's all handled by admin staff, and the doctors just see patients, talk to the patients, treat patients, review tests. Like they do the work that a doctor is supposed to do. Because like nowadays the doctor is both a doctor, a health insurance agent, or what, you know? Mm-hmm. And like they're working like 80-hour work weeks, they're stressed, they're rushing from patient to patient, and that makes them sloppy, that makes them make mistakes, right? Mm-hmm. And so with the Mayo Clinic, the model that they have is they let their doctors be human beings and have lives and, you know, like have weekends off and evenings off, etc. But then that makes them like 10 times a better doctor.
I hope things look better when you go to Thailand. I hope they can at least help you out, because I do see you on Twitter. Like I said, like I do see when you're not having the best time, you're not feeling well. So I wish you the best, my friend. Did you have anything closing? Did you want to say anything to end it off? Or
one thing that I noticed in living in the States is that the opioid epidemic is an epidemic because it's white people who are affected by it. You know, like all the things like, you know, high blood pressure, diabetes, etc., that are killing hella black people, stroke, etc., are not considered epidemics. And the only reason that the opioids are being like consumed by white people is because they're not giving them to any people of color, because they think we're all superhuman, right? And so that's the reason why white people are so particularly hard hit by the opioid epidemic, is because they're the only people actually really getting the opioids, you know? And then it creates this whole like, whoa, like, you know, like there's a huge crisis in our country, whatnot. But it's like, why weren't you doing this? Why weren't you doing this for crack in the 90s, you know? Why weren't you doing this for like all these drugs that are associated with black and brown people, you know? And it's frustrating to me, because when you're dealing with a white person who is suffering from addiction or something, it's just like they're given so much more leeway and sympathy and like room to like be a human being. But when you're a black person dealing with anything, it's just you're put in this box. And you're put in the box immediately, and there's like nothing that you can do about it, and there's no way that you can get out of it.
I kind of agree with that. I definitely, yeah. It's just inequality across the board. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The treatment. So, all right.
I would like to thank Mugabe Biyanga for sharing his experience dealing with medical professionals and sharing how his race played a part in the treatment that he received. It has long been documented about the disparity of treatment between black and white people. This episode was meant to show one person's firsthand account of his experience. I'd also like to thank you for listening to the latest episode of Words with Michelle, the podcast. It took a while to get this one out there, but so glad that I did. Just a reminder, you can subscribe to Words with Michelle, the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and iHeartRadio. You can also listen to the show. You can also listen to this show and other shows on my blog at wordsmichelle.com. If you have any questions or would like to provide a comment or feedback, or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you can email me at michelle@wordswithmichelle.com. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, bye.